It's Jessie. If you're hearing this, that means my limited edition capsule collection for Joe Fresh is out now. In select stores and at joefresh.com, I designed matching pieces for the entire family in a really fun, bold checkerboard print, including a baby romper, toddler and kids dress, a kids t-shirt and short set, a shirt for men, and the cutest women's linen short set that you will live in all summer long. Every piece is under $35, and warning, you will get compliments wherever you go. Shop it now before it's gone. This week on Phone a Friend, replace your pink hair bows with black ones. JoJo Siwa is in her bad girl era. What you need to know about armrests on the airplane. I had solar eclipse FOMO, and Prince William is a dirty dog.
I've been told not to say the aubergine, so I've got to pick something else.
The future king talked about sexting, and we need to discuss it here before they cover it on The Crown. So let's begin now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Girl, let's phone a friend with Jessie Cruikshank.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Phone a Friend. I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and this is exciting. Today is our official Phone a Friend debut on the Canada Talks channel on Sirius XM Radio. Hey. So if you're listening over on Canada Talks, hi, I'm Jessie, and you're a phony now. Whether you like it or not. I always knew I had a face for radio, and now I'm putting it to work. With me, as always, is a man with a body for video. It's Jason, my producer. Oh my God.
Since when? Hi.
Oh, please. Come on, Jace. Give the phonies a mental picture. You know what I mean?
Okay. I mean, I'll take it.
Okay.
Not true, but I'll take it.
Please. Jason, we are talking in a post-eclipse era.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel forever changed by the eclipse? Am I speaking to a new Jason, my producer, this week?
No, I didn't. I don't feel changed. No.
Sorry. Why not?
I'm not an eclipse person. I think it's dumb.
Wait, now you've inspired me to play a clip of my son Rio describing the eclipse. Here's what he said.
Rio, what did you think of the solar eclipse?
Boring and cool.
Boring and cool?
Yeah.
Boring and cool. And you're going with dumb. Please elaborate.
Oh, I just don't get the hoopla, I guess. Like, I don't understand why everyone's running up to rooftops to just stare at the sun. Too predictable in a way. Like, nothing shocking is going to happen. But I can appreciate other people, like,
my,
you know, I'm obviously the only person
who... Producer.
I know I'm the odd one out.
Is agape, okay? Like the umbra.
I actually still don't know what that means. No, I hear you. I hear you. I don't think you that's an unpopular opinion. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people felt that way. As we have established on the show, I am dumb and busy. I was not even paying attention to the eclipse news. I did read that Travis Kelce is hosting Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, which is he, but did not read about the eclipse. And then on Monday morning, when I dropped my kids off at school, everyone had their little eclipse glasses and everyone's talking about it and where they're going to go to watch it. And I started to feel like sudden and extreme eclipse FOMO because I love a communal event, Jason. Yeah. I have an insatiable zest for life and I can't handle like not being a part of something that brings people together. And I remember the last eclipse. Did you watch the last eclipse that happened 7 years ago?
No. I'm trying to remember where I was for that. I don't really remember
it. You were in Toronto. You were in Toronto working on the goods because I was here in LA pregnant. It was 2 days before I went into labor with Rio and Dre.
Okay.
I was on bed rest. I had like all the time in the world back then to get my little glasses ready. And like mm-hmm. I waddled out to a viewing area and I watched it and waddled back to the car. Like I was prepared for that eclipse because I had no children outside of my body. This time I have 3 children outside of my body. I didn't even know it was happening. Did not have the glasses, but I so desperately just wanted to be a part of it that I put on the live stream. The whole thing was live streamed like it's like the Super Bowl for like NASA astronomers and meteorologists. And Jason, they are getting so excited talking about like totality and annularity and all the diamond ring. Like these people had like erections talking about the eclipse live on camera. And that got me excited. I mean, watching like a nerd get excited about anything will also get me excited for it. You know, they had been waiting a lifetime for this moment. Suddenly I was like, I too have been waiting my whole life for this umbra, even if I just found out about it 12 hours ago.
Why do you keep saying umbra? Like what is that?
I don't
that?
Know. It's one of the terms they kept saying, Jason. I don't know. Don't ask about it.
Okay.
Don't follow up. Just go with it. They kept talking about the umbra and I was like, yes, look at that umbra. And then Jason, when it happened, it was like watching these people climax. Okay. Like the moon covers the sun and they're like, like couldn't handle it. And so I start to panic and realize like, this is not going to happen again for another 20 years. I have to go see it. I'm in the middle of an edit. I'm in a dark, windowless edit bay with 2 other people. And I was just like, gotta go, BRB. I run out. I go get a cereal box from Kraft Services and try to cut like my own pinwheel, like eyeglasses based on a YouTube video I was following on the internet. Literally, I'm like poking holes in them thinking like, hope I don't go blind. Go outside at the time of the eclipse. There is nobody there in LA. Okay. Apparently everybody else in Los Angeles also thinks it's dumb. It is, the crickets are out on the streets. I have a cardboard box on my face. I can't see anything. I'm also so scared to actually look. I'm just sort of like looking off to the side of the sun and then nothing changed and it was over. Right. And I go back inside and the scientists are like still climaxing on the live stream. And I was like, I didn't see anything except the inside of my Chex Mix box.
Cause also, isn't it like last hours, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, oh God. Oh God.
We don't, yeah.
Well,
I don't.
No, it's supposed to, in LA, it was like 2.5 minutes or something. Like it lasts a different amount of time. On the live stream, it was 4 minutes, which was very exciting and a long time to take it all in, all the phases, you know?
Okay.
But I think it was only like 2.5 minutes where I was.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. If you're a NASA scientist listening to this show, and I know there are so many, please leave me a voicemail, guys, when you're not studying the umbras. So, Jason, I did not think it was dumb. I thought it was thrilling. Happy to be a part of it. Can't wait for next year. And by next year, I mean 2044. And hey, if we're still a little bit confused about the totality and the umbras of it all, why don't I just get the NASA astronomer who lives in my house to explain the solar eclipse? Rio?
The Polar Express, I don't know what it's called,
is when the moon blocks the sun and you can die or something. So that is all you need to know about the Polar Express.
The Polar Express, Jason. I mean,
I love that.
And I think maybe deep down, Jason, he also thought it was a bit dumb. So look at you and my 6-year-old son. You have so much in common. Jason, other than my botched attempt to watch the Polar Express through a Chex Mix box, a lot has happened in the past 7 days. It's been a week.
It's been a week. Yeah.
Okay, the only thing that makes me feel older than living through 3 solar eclipses, Jason, we will live through 3 solar eclipses and you won't see any of them. Is watching child internet sensation JoJo Siwa grow into a bad bitch before our very eyes. So you probably know JoJo as the preteen from Dance Moms who wore like the big bows, lots of little sequins, and who put out songs like this.
Bubblegum gum drop, dropping like a lollipop, never let the craving stop. A million flavors be the men, rainbow colored oxygen, don't you worry about a thing.
I mean, is it bad that I'm like absolutely bopping my head? Like, I'm sorry. That's a jam.
Bubblegum gum drop, don't you worry about a thing.
I feel like as a child, I was like a redheaded child with a unibrow with like JoJo Siwa trapped inside me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I see myself in JoJo Siwa. I understand why she's so popular. Because what child doesn't want a giant bow on their head and to dance around a candy shop singing about bubblegum? Rapping, if we're being honest. Rapping. So I was very unaware of JoJo Siwa because like my kids were too young for her. I had no idea she existed. And then I did a New Mom Who Dis live special a few years ago called New Mom Who Dis Investigates JoJo Siwa. And I dressed as JoJo Siwa with like a bow and a sequin jacket and a JoJo Siwa crop top. And I, you know, investigated who she is and what kind of culture she had brought to the earth. I also did that special while secretly pregnant with Romy at the time. So like just below the Zoom frame, I had a pregnant belly poking out of my child size large It's My Party t-shirt, which like looking back is really one of the creepier looks I've ever had. So that little investigation I did was before she came out as gay. She still had 700 product lines at Target. She still had her own version of Monopoly and a Tesla decal with pictures of her face on it. Have you seen that?
I've seen.
I had seen it a few times like around LA and I would think about stopping and just, yes.
Oh, I saw it on Instagram.
No, I live near the Millennium Dance Complex, Jason, where I gathered JoJo was doing a lot of rehearsals to get those bubblegum moves down. Yes.
That's like, okay. That's like an iconic institution.
An iconic institution. You don't think I drive by there every morning being like, is Blake McGrath in there? I mean, is Shiloh Jolie Pitt dancing in there? The Millennium Dance Complex houses historic.
Yeah.
Choreo. It's a site for historic choreo.
The amount of like making the Pussycat Dolls music videos I've watched filmed at the Millennium Dance
Studio. There you go. I know. And now I'm raising 3 young children just a hop, skip, and a kickball change away. You know what I mean? But, you know, JoJo Siwa was just like this very energetic, like YouTuber, singer, dancer who had captured the hearts of millions of tweens and the wallets of their parents. Okay. She was safe. She was sweet. She was rich as fuck and on a path to early retirement. Sadly, that JoJo Siwa is dead. As we mentioned a few weeks ago, JoJo Siwa has officially entered her bad girl era. We know this because she announced that she would be officially entering my bad girl era with a new image and a new song called Karma. If you have not stopped Cowboy Carter to listen to Karma phonies, I'll give you a taste.
Karma's a bitch. I should have known better if I had.
I mean, I have not stopped listening to this song since it came out.
I am a 12-year-old girl. I also love that, like, if I'm reading deeply into these JoJo Siwa lyrics, Karma is actually the name of a bitch who's with her girl. Is that right? Like, Karma, the twist, the plot twist of the song is that Karma is a person?
Like, she's suggesting that she did something shady to a partner and it's coming back to bite her in the butt?
No! Jason is keeping it PG while JoJo is going X. No, I thought it was about a girl named Karma who was cheating with her girlfriend. Did I read too deeply into it?
You are right. I think okay, it's like Karma's not like the literal name of the girlfriend, but I think it's like the person that she like cheated on, let's just say, is like now she's having to watch her live a happy life with Karma. I don't know if that's right.
How much time should we spend in this podcast dissecting the lyrics of JoJo Siwa's Karma? I'm happy to talk about it all day. There is depth, is what I'm saying. You know, Karma is my boyfriend. No, more like Karma is my girlfriend, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So you like the song?
Oh, yeah. I've been listening to it nonstop since it came out. I live for moments like this. When people come out with like their like edgy era.
Yes. Yes. I mean, successful edgy eras include Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez. Most of the Disney stars have come out and like Demi Lovato have like stepped into an edgy era. Just not quite as blatantly. Like for me, love the song. At first I listened to it ironically and then I like bumped it the entire way home from Romy's swimming lessons. Like, and I'm okay with that. I just don't know that this new image and video and song qualify as entering in your bad girl era. Like, I just feel like, first of all, if you have to tell us you're bad now, you can't be all that bad. You know what I mean? Like, get caught doing coke at the Chateau Marmont, we can talk. Like, that's the kind of bad that I am accustomed to. And then, you know, JoJo has talked a lot about how, like, this is her, she's taking Miley Cyrus's path and, like, emulating Miley Cyrus's career, and that's great. But Miley didn't announce she wasn't like, I'm going to grow up now. You know, she just like ripped off her Hannah Montana bangs, shaved her head, bent over for Robin Thicke, straddled a wrecking ball naked. And we were like, okay.
Well, the first Miley thing was, remember her like bong photo leaked?
Right. Jason, I forgot about the bong photo leak. I retract my statement about coke at the Chateau Marmont and replace it with get a photo of yourself hitting a bong leaked. I don't even know if that's the terminology. Is it hitting a bong? I don't know. I've never hit one. Also, like the image makeover really just has her out here looking like the fifth member of KISS. Okay. Like, I don't know. There are like stars on the face. There's a black, long braided goatee. I'm not looking at the braided goatee thinking like, ooh, she's bad now. I'm looking at the braided goatee thinking like, why does she have a braided goatee? I don't know. And then if you look at the music video, it really is just JoJo Siwa, but instead of wearing rainbow sequin short shorts, she's wearing black sequin short shorts. Like, that's the big transition. We've gone from rainbow to black, and I support it. Unfortunately for JoJo, she didn't spark the like Miley-esque style controversy she was hoping to with the new image reveal. Instead, she sparked a controversy when it seemed as though she was claiming to have invented gay pop.
And I am so excited to bring this version of pop music back. And I wanted to start a new genre of music. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, well, it's called gay pop.
People are dragging this 20-year-old for claiming to have invented a new genre called gay pop. I think she's just 20 and excited to be out and gay and making pop. And we can applaud her for that. Like Lady Gaga's applause, which I also believe is considered gay pop. In fact, Jason, I believe most good pop music is a little bit gay. Do you agree?
Agreed, yeah.
So make all the gay pop you want, JoJo Siwa. Gay pop has been around since the dawn of the Village People, and I'm glad that she's carrying the baton or the long braided goatee. And we're not the only ones who are on board for the JoJo Siwa rebrand. Abby Lee Miller agrees with us. And as 8 seasons of Dance Moms has taught us, you never go against Abby Lee Miller. This was her reacting to JoJo's new video.
JoJo is doing incredible dancing with a lot of paint on her face. It used to be stars and rainbows and pink and lavender and turquoise. And now it's black. It's still paint on her face.
Thanks, Abby Lee Miller. And thank you, JoJo Siwa. I'm here for whatever color paint you have on your face or goatee hanging from your chin. What's next?
What's next?
Okay, I know I said I would take a break from talking about Kate Middleton, but I never said I'd stop talking about her husband, especially when he's hot on TikTok.
What's hot on TikTok?
So an old clip of Prince William and Kate Middleton being asked about their most used emojis has resurfaced on TikTok this week because William, our tightly wound prince and future king, gives a very unexpected answer.
We'd love to know, what's your most used emojis?
Is this a clean thing or is this a family one?
Oh, come on.
It depends what group exactly. It's a family.
I've been told not to say the aubergine, so I've got to pick something else. So
it's the aubergine.
It would have been the aubergine, but I'm saying now, because I've got to be a bit more grown up, it's the one where the eyes go up and down and the mouth's out and you're a bit like...
Yes. What?
The aubergine, Jason. The aubergine. Which is British for eggplant. Prince William's most used emoji is the eggplant, which, Jason, sorry, you are my producer, so could you remind me, what is it the universal symbol for?
Penis.
Penis.
Yeah.
Is it any penis? Is it a firm penis?
What is it? The way the shape of it is sort of like pointing up, I would
it's
assume.
It's an erect
like
penis.
Erect penis. Yeah.
So here's the thing. I understand a casual use of the aubergine, but for that to be your most used emoji, His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales must be sending penises all day long. Erect penises. To whom, Jason? The Marchioness of Colomundelay? Allegedly. I don't know. Jason, help us understand. Like, what would be a reason to send the aubergine?
In a joking manner. In a joking fashion. Like, if you're texting with somebody and it's like you're talking about somebody you find attractive, you might respond with just like a couple eggplant emojis.
Oh my
God.
That's
the only context I can really think of it being used in. Like, I've never seen it or could imagine using it in like a genuine way.
No, I think there you can absolutely sext with an aubergine. Yeah. Can you not?
I'm sure people do.
Princes, apparently. How often do you send an aubergine emoji, Jason? Is it in your most used?
Like, sometimes, not a lot, but sometimes it actually is not in my most used.
Okay. Yeah. Did you just verify? Okay,
just
so what
at my
is
frequently used?
Wait, before you tell me what is your most frequently used, and you have to be honest, what is the female version of an eggplant emoji? What is the vagina emoji?
I don't know.
Emoji. Emojina. Is there one?
I know, like, I've seen people use the peach.
Yes, right. Which is bum,
which
right?
I think is butt, yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think there's one for what you're looking for.
And you know I'm looking for it. Me and Prince William are just constantly looking to send graphic sexual texts. Okay, so you don't use the eggplant emoji. What is your most used emoji, Jason, my producer?
It's kind of boring, but the like two hands kind of like praising, like the two hands.
Oh, prayer.
Pointing up.
Oh, no, the hands up. That's nice. That tells me a lot about you, that you're a positive person. You're sharing a lot of excitement over text. I like that one.
And my second is a blue heart.
Jason.
Yeah.
That is like actually you in, if I could describe you in two emojis, it would be that, the hands up emoji and the blue heart. Mine is the worried face. Do you know what I mean? Like that face, you know, with the wide teeth.
Oh, yeah.
I send that constantly. I think I just sent that to you before we sat down to record, being like, running 15 minutes late. Oh, literally my last two texts. My mom, how was Romy's swimming lesson? Me, oh. My friend Kate, did you get the eclipse glasses? Me, I made my own. Oh, emoji. Like, it really works in all contexts for me. And it also, like you, accurately sums up my life. Like, I'm just constantly in a state of, oh. So, you know, I guess the future ruler of the Commonwealth is constantly in a state of aubergine. Yeah. Is what I'm taking away from this. Can I ask this? How would you feel? Like, I'm putting myself in Kate Middleton's position. How would you feel if your partner's most used emoji was the eggplant? Sorry, the aubergine. I'm a classy woman. The aubergine.
I hate to admit it, but my first reaction would be like, who are you sending that to?
Yes, thank you.
If not me.
Right. Or like, are you just sending it along with like hunky pictures of other people? Like, who or what is this being used for? Now this has made me wonder what Evan's most used emojis are. He's literally sitting in the other room. Can I just go take his phone from him for 35 seconds?
Would he let you?
He's about to. Sorry, literally stand by 30 seconds. I'm going to go get it. Okay. We're going off the rails. I'm back. I literally walked up to him, took his phone, and he didn't even look up from his computer. So that's the relationship that we're in. Most used emojis, stand by. Oh my God, Jason.
Oh no.
It's literally all, no, not an eggplant in sight. No aubergines, okay. Thank God.
Peaches?
No peaches, thank the Lord. There is a monkey.
Doing what?
Squatting? Why? Oh. Is there something dirty about the monkey I should know?
Well, like if it was the monkey covering its mouth emoji, oh, no. That's like a little, like that could be racy.
What? Seriously?
Kind of. It's like
I think I sent that to my daughter's preschool okay. teacher. I swear to God. And the devil one, I didn't know that was about being horny. There are so many things I have learned only recently. The devil one is about being horny, right?
Yeah. Is that
the
in there?
The purple devil? No, there's okay. no horny devil. There's no monkey covering. It's the squatting monkey. It's the most innocent of the monkeys.
Okay.
And then there's literally every single sport. Okay, we have a football, oh. we have a basketball, we have a baseball, we have a, is this a rugby ball? There is definitely some kind of a field hockey stick, a lacrosse stick. I mean, this person exclusively texts about sports.
Wait, you know what the field hockey stick is meant for, right?
No.
No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I thought that would scare you more.
I almost called James Sexton Esquire, divorce lawyer. Well, now that I can confirm that he is not having an affair with a professional field hockey player, I feel a lot better. Just sports and monkeys over here, Jay. Thanks, Prince William and his aubergine. That is what's hot on TikTok.
What's hot on TikTok?
Hands up emoji. What's next?
What's next?
My favorite former redhead, Gillian Anderson, went on the Today Show earlier this week and revealed that she went back to work on the X-Files. Agent Scully got back on the case with Agent Mulder to solve paranormal mysteries 10 days after giving birth. Listen to this.
You had a baby 10 days after you gave birth by C-section, I might add.
Yeah.
You were back at work. Which, yeah. Talk about jaw-dropping. That's amazing. How do you reflect on that now? That was in the 90s.
I think if I didn't feel so guilty that I got pregnant in the first season, that I might have taken better care of myself and been more thoughtful about what I needed and for my best interest at the time.
Yeah.
But I think I was so wrapped up in, I almost got fired, I messed this up, I'll do whatever they say, you know. And so, 10 days after a C-section.
10 days after a C-section, Jason?
That's insane. That's
you
scary.
You can barely sit up. You're not even sent home from the hospital after a C-section for 5 days. Like, there are still active stitches in the abdomen. And my questions are, was she able to walk? Was she still bleeding? Was she leaking from the nipple? Did she feel hormonal, exhausted,
guilty, overwhelmed? Find out this week on The X-Files.
Or I could just tell you, she did. She felt all of those things. And, like, thankfully, she could hide her mesh diaper and breast pump under her oversized 1998 trench coat, but it must not have been easy, you know? I know this, and this hit particularly hard because I went back to work on my daytime talk show at the CBC 5 weeks after birthing premature twins. And to this day, that is one of the most, like, truly unhinged things I have ever done. You were working with me at the time, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
It was right after I had looked at the eclipse.
Yeah.
Through my eclipse glasses. Had the boys. And for me, like, and it also sounds like this was the case with Gillian Anderson. I wasn't pressured in any way to come back by my bosses. I made the decision for myself because I had no idea what childbirth and then caring for two newborns would, like, do to my body and my brain. Okay. I set this date for my return months before I had the babies. And then, like, the wheels were in motion. Like, the train had left the station. They were advertising the date I was coming back. There were, like, posters, you know, like, that I was coming back. I kind of had no choice. And I really felt like that seems doable. Because I felt guilty for leaving the show that I was a face of. And if I'm being honest, I felt scared that I would be replaced or that people wouldn't miss me when I was gone or that, like, someone would come in and guest host and do a better job while I was away. Like, I was only thinking about what the show and the network and the audience needed. I didn't one time think about what I needed or, like, what my newborn twins needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember because Jason was in Toronto working on the show at the time.
Yeah.
I remember, Jay, there was, like, some episode guest co-hosted by Johnny Reed. Canadians, you're familiar with Johnny Reed. You know what I mean? He's like a Canadian. Like, no.
Oh.
He's like a singer.
Wait, who
he's
am
like
I thinking
a country
of?
Sort of like crew. You're thinking of Johnny Weir.
Oh.
Talk about gay pop. No, Johnny Weir, I would say, and Johnny Reed are very different.
Okay.
And they appeal to vastly different demographics. Johnny Reed is like a middle-aged man who sings, like, gentle music for, like, women my mother's age. He is handsome and, like, from the East Coast, I think, like a real Canadian boy. And when he guest co-hosted my daytime talk show, the ratings, like, skyrocketed, okay? And I am at home with, like, my nipples are bleeding with my two premature babies next to me thinking, like, Johnny Reed is going to take my job. But I digress. I will never forget this, Jason. So I have the twins in LA. They are, like, in the NICU for a few weeks. They're at home for a couple weeks. And then we take them on a plane at 3 and 4 pounds against all orders from all of the medical staff that was working with us. We fly them to a different country. We get to our, like, rental house. And I'll never forget the night before I'm supposed to make my return to television. I am standing in my kitchen at 3 a.m. hooking myself up to a breast pump for, like, the fourth time that night, wearing a literal diaper. And I started to, like, weep, like, just uncontrollable hormonal tears of pure fear and exhaustion. Just thinking, like, what am I doing? How am I going to do this? I am not ready. You know what I mean? Like, my entire life, I had made decisions for myself with my brain, never with my body. And suddenly I'd made this choice with my brain. And my body was, like, screaming at me, no, don't do it. But the next day, I burst through a door onto the set of the show wearing a tight red dress. That was a bad decision because I leaked through it twice, okay? Literally, we had to, like, take it off and blow dry milk off of the nipple areas. Like, I was a contestant on The Price is Right who had peed myself. Had to dry off the dress throughout the taping of the show. And I'm out there just, like, pretending everything was okay. And I continued to pretend it was okay for 7 months, and it was not. Like, it really wasn't. And I think, oy, 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 sorry. I'm getting emotional because I'm getting cry emoji now because I think, like, honestly, one of the big reasons I decided to have a third child is because I always feel like I missed out.
on that part of my baby's lives. You know what I mean? And I just wanted one more chance to do it over again. And this is a PSA to all women, because I do think it's really hard for women to ask for what they want and what they need, especially in the workplace. But like, I urge you to ask yourself what you need, you know, to like listen to your body and not be afraid to take time for you, maternity or otherwise. Can we just roll the X-Files theme to change the mood? So thank you, Agent Scully. And I'm sorry, Jason. I'm really sorry.
No, it's so big of you to be able to like say that now.
Well, you know, I probably owe you an apology thinking back for like, we worked together every single day while I was like so freshly postpartum. And I'm sure I was just, I'm sure it was hard because I was like hormonal and exhausted and half there and half thinking about what I was missing at home. Like, I apologize to you for making you work with me in that state.
There was nothing of the sort that was
okay.
For that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is your opportunity to mean to me, but you're not going to?
No.
Thank you. Speaking of Agent Scully, Disney just announced they're rebooting The X-Files, but we don't know if Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny are returning. The way I was horny for David Duchovny, Jason.
Yeah.
Agent Mulder coming up with conspiracy theories in his baggy suit and trench coat. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I mean, that show used to be so terrifying to me.
Yes.
And give me nightmares. But yeah, that part for sure.
Oh my God, it gave me nightmares, but I was also like, let me be an alien so he can invade me.
Oh no.
What's next?
What's next?
All right. As someone who travels a lot, I'm literally jumping on a flight in a matter of hours. I have a lot of thoughts and feelings on armrests, on reclining seats, on personal space, on apple juice, on denim jackets. So I want to talk about a story that is blowing up Reddit. And all the Twitter posts I saw retweeting it, because I don't know what Reddit is. And also Twitter is now X. And then there's Threads. I can't keep up. Someone get me a rotary phone. The Reddit thing account. The Reddit thread. I think that's what it is about a United Airlines flight attendant who very recently went rogue and got on the hot mic and laid out a set of armrest rules over the intercom for the passengers on his flight. He stated, all passengers should only use the armrest on their right or their left, depending on the side of the plane. Those in aisle seats should keep the aisle armrest clear for cabin crew convenience. No one person gets two armrests, and no armrest drama will be tolerated. Over. He literally got on there and was like, not today, honey. And I love it, because we have needed some clarity when it comes to the armrest. Do you agree, Jason?
Yes, wholeheartedly agree.
Do you believe that every person should only be entitled to one armrest, and that should be the armrest to your right or left?
Disagree.
What?
Strongly.
Go off.
I think it's very case by case, but I think that the person in the middle seat, if it's like a row of three, should get kind of first access to both armrests, because they have the shittiest seat. Like, give them both armrests if they need it.
Wow. That's kind.
I think it's also very dependent on the people. Mm. Like, if it's like a 99-year-old granny, like, give her the armrest.
Okay.
If it's like a 13-year-old kid, it's like, no, I'm taking it. I'm older.
What about a struggling mother traveling alone with three young children? She gets both, right?
She gets both.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Very case by case.
Very case by case. There's so much gray area. I find my number one thing is I recently have sat next to, I'm always aisle seat, okay? Always request the aisle. And I have found myself sitting next to middle seaters who have the audacity to try to push the armrest up.
Okay? And just sit there with like their flesh touching mine with no separation. And I'm not okay with that. So if the armrest is up for whatever reason, we're walking in, my strategy is always I'll get up to let the person in. And as I'm sitting, I will fluidly put the armrest down with my sitting motion so as not to make a big deal of it. And sometimes the armrest gets like stuck on somebody's like flesh and I just have to like continue to push it down because I believe there always has to be an armrest, right? There's no tolerance for no armrest.
It's weird.
Right.
It's like gross almost.
Thank you. It's like, unless you're going to put your head on my lap and take a nap, no, we need an armrest. Okay. I'm not somebody who avoids the aisle armrest to accommodate the crew. I am straight up the person that the crew every time is like, excuse me, miss. My foot is always out. My bag's hanging around. Like, I don't accommodate the crew as much as I should, okay?
I agree. I'm the same. I mostly do aisle, and my knees and legs and arms are always hanging in the aisle.
Everything is hanging out in the aisle. My other pet peeve, if I can just add on to this, is I don't think it's okay in 2024 to recline your seat anymore. Hear me out. These damn seats are so small. Every time I sit in an aircraft, I'm like, did I grow or are these seats shrinking? So we only have mere inches of legroom. Please don't recline your seat all the way. I can't even open my laptop. I can barely see the screen in front of me. Agree or disagree?
I agree with that.
Ooh.
Do not jerk back your seat.
No.
Into my space, please.
Because you know what happens when a jerk jerks back his seat. And by the way, it is always like the middle-aged entitled white man. Sorry, it always is. He's always reclining all the way. The apple juice lady's husband was straight up reclined onto my lap. Because then I'm forced to recline all the way. I have no choice but to recline. And there's a cause and effect here. It's like dominoes all the way to the back of the plane. And nobody wanted to recline in the first place. So I'm saying, don't be the person who reclines. That's my hot take. Anything else that bugs you on a plane, Jay?
So many things.
Oh.
Like a lot. This has been really triggering me lately is hair. Like people's hair coming into my seat space. Like I was on a flight recently and the lady in front of me just sort of like, we're like on the flight and she just sort of like tossed her hair back, like just like flicked her hair with her hand or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
And the hair like went over her seat, like on covering my TV on the back of the seat, like her hair.
No.
And like what I'm not going to touch it. I can't move it. But like, do I tap her and say, excuse me, ma'am, can you move your hair? It's just,
your
it's weird.
Hair is covering my screen, ma'am.
And like, how do you not know that your hair's there?
Honestly, like who is like Chris Appleton styling the woman sitting in front of you? Who has long enough hair to toss it over the top of an airline seat? No, I'm horrified by that. And I'm a long-haired, unruly-haired person. No, you can't put your hair up and over the seat.
Mm-hmm. And now that it's like on my radar, I feel like I'm like noticing it so much more. Like I notice it on like other people's seats. I'm like, that hair's too close.
Wow, this is new.
Now I'm
going to be acutely aware of my own hair. You don't want to be the person with your shoes off on the plane, and you do not want to be the person with your hair draped over Jason's seat back, okay? Because you will feel his wrath, which will come in the form of a slight gasp, and then he'll go back to doing whatever he was doing.
And also, you're going to die. Look at check the photo I just sent you. This was on my last flight. This person's braid, like
Jason,
fully through the whole flight, the braid fully through the seats, like in my space.
No, I need to describe this. Jason, there is a giant braid. It's like a Rapunzel tangled braid. It's like imagine JoJo Siwa's braided goatee, but it's 100 times the size and blonde, and it is hanging between the seats in front of Jason's seat, literally touching the floor.
It's like
I've never seen anything like it. This is a Guinness record braid. Well, now I am shook. Jason, I am so, so sorry for the trauma that you have endured. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Okay, phonies, if you have more airplane etiquette to vent about, please slide into my DMs, leave me a voicemail. I am making it my civic duty to compile and share our list of formal airplane etiquette rules in hopes of bringing this divided nation back together again and to stop you from stealing my armrest. Jason, I know I'm supposed to throw to commercial break here, but do I have like 1 minute to talk about something that's been really keeping me up at night?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Jason,
my producer.
I'm very
eager to hear what this is.
Please, please, please.
Unplanned.
We did not plan this. This is not in our little breakdown here. I'm just going completely rogue because I desperately want to take a brief moment to discuss this week in Hot People.
Hot couples, there's so much hotter than us.
Arguably, the hottest people on Earth, Rihanna and Aesop Rocky, were photographed a couple of days ago painting some pots at a Color Me Mine. The same Color Me Mine I have taken my six-year-olds Rio and Dre to paint I Heart Dad mugs. Okay? The coolest billionaire on Earth just painting her own pottery at the Color Me Mine. Jay, you know what the Color Me Mine is, right?
I actually don't. I just Googled it. And the first thing that popped up was Reddit.
Oh my God. Color Me Mine is like, maybe there's a different version of it in Canada. It's where you go to paint your own pottery. You choose out your little paint. You choose what pottery you're going to design. You paint it and then they fire it for you in the kiln.
Cool.
Wait, you've never heard of this?
No.
Jason.
I can't wait to go.
I actually want your life.
You know, I actually did a pottery class.
Oh.
It was so fun.
Oh.
It was my first time doing it.
Jason, that's so cute. I love that. It's so Seth Rogen of you.
Is it? Yeah, it was really fun.
Ceramics are hot right now. This is what I want to say. Ceramics are hot. If ASAP Rocky was like sitting behind Rihanna, like straight up Patrick Swayze-ing her,
yeah,
that I could get behind. But to physically go to a Color Me Mine and like paint, I don't know, like a unicorn statue, it's an odd choice.
Yeah.
I don't think Rihanna and Aesop Rocky sitting at the Color Me Mine makes sense. Like, first of all, much like Travis Swelce on a date at the zoo, I don't know how to feel about a date at the Color Me Mine. I don't think it's particularly hot or romantic. Like, it works for a basic-ass average couple, sure, but for this couple, what? Also, I just thought that they slept all day and stayed up all night, like designing clothes and rapping and making music and being cool. I don't think of them as a couple that steps out on an afternoon for a little pottery paint. You know what I mean? Like, is Rihanna going to return in 48 hours after her masterpieces have dried from the kiln? Is she going to pick up that little pot and be as disappointed as I always am when I see how the colors actually turned out? With a couple of paparazzi pictures, my entire image of this couple has been shattered. Much like any given mug when my children walk too close to the pottery wall in the Color Me Mine. And that's all I wanted to say, Jason.
Okay.
Really needed to get that off my chest.
I still love this. I want to do it.
And if that's the takeaway, that you're inspired to go on a hot afternoon date to the Color Me Mine in Beverly Hills, then Jason, you're welcome. And that's this week in Hot People.
Hot couples, there's so much hotter than us.
After the break, last week we chose to end our episode by playing a song off the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack instead of a song off of record-breaking, culturally relevant Cowboy Carter. We chose Melissa Joan Hart over Beyonce in the year of our Lord 2024, and you had thoughts. I'm checking my voicemail next.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We are back. Jason, on last week's episode, I don't even remember how this came up, but somehow you discussed, you know, that growing up, you were a big fan of the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack.
Yeah, it was like my neural nostalgia.
Right. And my response was to laugh harder than I have ever laughed on this podcast, quite possibly in my life, which I believe to be the appropriate response. Apparently, I was in the wrong. You were in the right, because my inbox was flooded with messages. Let's check my voicemail.
Check, check, check your voicemail.
Hi, Jesse. It's Emily from Calgary. Okay, I just listened to your latest episode. I listened to all of them. But, Kate, Jason, the Sabrina album, I laughed so hard. I listened to that album on repeat on my Discman in the third row of my dad's Suburban on road trips when my brothers were, I don't know, mocking me for being losers because they were listening to Eminem and whatever, and I was listening to Sabrina the Teenage Witch when, let's be honest, I was a little too old to be listening. But that song just brought me back. That slaps harder for me than any of the Pitbull, than any of the Beyonce. I think I'm going to have to go listen to that song on this snowy April day in Calgary. Anyway, keep it coming. Love the nostalgia. Clearly, we're the cool kids. Have an awesome day.
Hey, thank you, Emily. And Emily was not alone, Jason. There's more. Would you like to hear from Victoria from Toronto?
Yeah, definitely.
Roll it.
I just listened to the latest episode of the podcast, and I was just so excited to hear Jason talk about Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack. It brought back so many memories for me of watching Boy Meets World and Sabrina the Teenage Witch on a Friday night at home, and then obviously immediately buying the soundtrack to Sabrina the Teenage Witch when it came out, and listening to the CD over and over again in my room as a tween. And you guys playing Melissa Joan Hart over the new Beyonce album at the end of your show. You guys have a fan for life now. Thanks so much. Bye.
Who knew playing Melissa Joan Hart's cover of One Way or Another would make you a global hero, Jason, my producer?
Celebrated
from coast to coast for having your finger on the pulse of pop culture. From 1998.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what it was? I have a cultural blind spot for the Sabrina soundtrack. Could you educate me on what I missed? And clearly I've been missing in my life for 30 years.
It was like peak Sabrina when the series was running. I think you're right. It's like 98, 99 probably.
Yeah, TGIF, right? Sabrina was on TGIF?
Yeah, yeah. It was like one of those like compilation albums, like, you know, like those like Much Dance albums. Like it was one of those, but it just had like the biggest songs of the time. Like it was like Spice Girls, but it was like deep cuts. Like it was Spice Girls, this song called like Walk of Life. There was Backstreet Boys,
Hey, Mr.
DJ.
Oh, and shit.
And NSYNC, Giddy Up. It was all those like 98 pop, 5, Robin, Aqua.
Wow.
Chumbawamba.
I mean, now you're speaking Sugar my Ray. Language. Yeah, Sugar Ray. Did Sugar Ray have another song other than I Just Want to Fly?
Yeah, well, on the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack, it was called Obviously, Abracadabra.
Ugh, should have known. Appropriate, too. See, I thought last week, because we did play the Melissa Joan Hart cover, I thought it was just an entire album of Melissa Joan Hart singing, so that it was not.
No.
Okay. No. But it was like, you're like, now that's what I call music 1998. It was exactly. Just like a compilation of bangers of the time.
Exactly.
Listen, Hey Mr. DJ was on so many of my mix CDs. That was like my low-key Backstreet Boys banger that I thought was like, you know, not enough people appreciated.
And it was just so that time of like it was when like Britney Spears was on the Sabrina show, and it was like all those like cool crossovers. It was just very that.
So many cool crossovers. Speaking of a cool crossover, I just realized that we talked about the X-Files and Sabrina the Teenage Witch on this show. They're both like versions of a paranormal show, just very different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch is what JoJo Siwa is to the X-Files. Do you know what I mean?
Right. With like a talking cat.
I forgot about the talking cat. Oh, well, I really appreciate this. And now I have a beautiful mental picture of you. How old are you? You're like...
Oh,
10?
10? No, oh my like 12, God. 13.
Oh, my 12, little 13, 14, angel. Yeah. Listening to the Sabrina soundtrack. Probably skip that Chumbawamba track.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Wow. Well, thank you, Emily and Victoria, for your messages. We love when you call in about anything, especially to celebrate Jason's fine taste in music. Thank you for your voicemails. The number, by the way, is always in the description of every episode. And if you're listening to this on SiriusXM while driving and you can't scroll up to the description, call me at 323-448-0068. So just memorize that. And then when you pull your car over, you can leave me a message. And please, phonies, leave us a 5-star review so we have a chance to become the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack of podcasts. Now, Jason, we've arrived at our own crossroads, if you will. We end every episode with a song, but do we choose something from Sabrina or do we go with the new rebranded JoJo Siwa's Karma?
I would go with the rebranded JoJo Siwa Karma.
I'm here to disagree.
Oh.
Roll Hey Mr. DJ by Backstreet Boys. How could we talk about this song and not let me relive it just for a hot minute?
Yeah.
You know, we're a month away from me going to see them live at the Lovers and Friends Festival in Las Vegas, Jason. If they
They're
play
in
this
it
song.
Too?
Yes, why do you think I'm
All
going?
All 5 of them?
All 5 of them.
Well, I didn't know that, actually.
Jason, this is the only way I got my 5 best high school friends to, like, leave their children and their husbands and get on a plane to Las Vegas because the damn Backstreet Boys are headlining.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And if they play Hey Mr. DJ, I mean, I might, like, the sun might eclipse again. We might have our 3rd solar eclipse sooner than expected, NASA. I'm just warning you. Phonies. And new SiriusXM phonies, thank you for listening. I am literally off to board a flight. Speaking of my friends, I'm going to Cabo for a girls' trip, Jason. I'm leaving in like hours. This is my first girls' trip in a decade. Definitely my first one since having children 1 solar eclipse ago. So I will report back. I'll tell you all about it next week. Thank you, Jason, my producer, for showing me the light. You know what I mean? Might not have seen the eclipse. Just stared directly at the track listing for the Sabrina soundtrack, and I am a changed person as a result. Talk next week.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Phone a Friend was created by our mommy, Jessie Cookson. The executive producers are Jesse Cruikshank and Jason Yamba. The technical producer is Rob Parrott. The amazing theme song and sexy interludes are by Jay Malinowski from Bedouin Sound Clash. Phone a Friend is part of the Acast Creator Network. Credits are by us. Ray Gatica and Rio Gatica. We're her kids. That's crazy, right? Wow, you're still listening? Okay, see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.